This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Welcome to A Certain Age, a show for women who are unafraid to age out loud. I have recorded more than 150 episodes of A Certain Age, and here's the amazing thing. I learn something on every show. Every show. But one thing that has truly stuck with me, that I do every day, multiple times, without fail, I stand on one leg to brush my teeth. And I do that to improve my balance and strengthen the muscles that support balance. And I learned this effective, easy button exercise from my guest today, Dr. Vonda Wright. Beauties, I am so delighted to welcome Vonda back to the show. We are getting the download on active aging, mobility, and longevity from a total pro. She is a double-boarded orthopedic surgeon, an elite sports doc, author, speaker, and innovator who specializes in optimizing personal and professional performance at every age. You may have seen her on the Today Show, listened to her podcast, read one of her 5 books. Maybe you're one of the hundreds of thousands of people who follow her on Instagram, or perhaps you're just meeting her today. Any which way, stick around, because we are getting into all the things. Building lean muscle mass in midlife, how menopause impacts our musculoskeletal system, active aging, how culture views aging and aging women in particular, plus Vonda's latest book. Welcome, Vonda.
I am so thrilled to be back with you, and congratulations on almost 3 years of podcasts.
I know, it's incredible, and you're one of my early guests. I'm not kidding. I'm alternating my legs every morning and every night. I actually do it also when I'm making my coffee. It's just a simple hack that I've really pulled into my routine. I think of you when I do it, so I obviously think of you
every
often.
Every day.
And it's so much fun to have you back. And we first connected in 2020, which it's astonishing. You know what was going on in the world then.
Yeah.
So much has changed, and one of the things that changed really has been this explosion of interest in midlife health and menopause products and services, and not to mention just sort of the buzz around menopause in media and pop culture. It's finally on the radar where it firmly belongs, you know, thanks to a lot of celebrities like Oprah, Naomi Watts, Drew Barrymore talking about their own journeys, investing in menopause startups. We know from recording 150 shows and for all my listeners that menopause impacts all of our body systems. It's not just hot flashes. And I would love to explore with you the impact of menopause and aging, you know, on our muscular skeletal system.
You know what? I love the opportunity you're giving me to talk about this, because I'm raising my hand here in my office to join the 51% of all the population that will have ovaries that have done their job and are just retired. And with that, all the things that we commonly talk about that you just mentioned, but something that people are not aware of is that 80% of us will experience musculoskeletal symptoms of menopause, and 25% of us will be devastated by them. And so those include things like arthralgia, which is total body and joint pain. And then many, many women will go to the doctor and they'll get all kinds of tests, and there will be nothing structurally wrong. And so they leave the doctor's office still in pain, a little deflated, saying things to me and other people like, I am falling apart, and what am I, just crazy? And so a big message that I love saying nearly every day is, number one, you are not falling apart. Number two, you are not crazy. This musculoskeletal symptoms of menopause are real. We need a ton more science, but it includes not only arthralgia or total body, total joint aching, but it's the loss of our bone density rapidly. I mean, I can't say that fast enough, rapidly, when estrogen walks out the door, which leaves us susceptible to fracture. And low bone density and frank osteoporosis is actually silent until you break something, and then it's screaming at you, and it's all you can do is just think about it while you heal because it's so painful. So there's pain, there's bones, there's loss of lean muscle mass. We will lose, it's called sarcopenia, but after age 50, we can potentially lose 2% of our lean muscle mass a year if we don't do anything about it. So that's why you hear me talking about it a lot. You hear people like Stacey Sims talking about, we have to eat enough protein, we have to eat enough calories, and we have to get out there and move some weights around to rebuild our muscle, which is critical for metabolism, for brain health, and for not falling down and breaking something terrible. But something that is perhaps most prevalent and yet not thought to be related to menopause, but totally is the rapid increase in arthritis, which is, for those of you that are fortunate enough not to have it, arthritis is wearing down of the smoother than ice cap, if you will, on the end of our bone. Literally, for those physics ladies out there, the coefficient of friction on cartilage is less friction than ice. So you can imagine how smooth it is. So that rapid, the structure of that cartilage will rapidly become less, because just like every other organ system in our body, the musculoskeletal system, bones, tendon, ligament, cartilage, have estrogen, alpha, and beta receptors. And when estrogen is no longer available to sit in those receptors on every tissue, particularly cartilage, all the downstream goodness that happens when estrogen receptors are full doesn't happen, and our cartilage starts to degrade. And so before 50, men have more arthritis. After 50, women rapidly get more arthritis. So I know I've gone on and on, but all these things are little known in the menopause world. And so I'm there screaming from the top of my lungs, you're not crazy, you're not falling apart, it's your estrogen.
First of all, thank you so much for saying you're not crazy, because that's something that everyone who's listening to this needs to know. And you know, oftentimes you can walk into certain doctor's offices, not yours, of course, and not feel heard. So, you know, whatever people's symptoms are, whether it be bladder leakage or pain, painful sex, or pain in your joints, you know, work with a doctor who gets it. And we are so fortunate today to have somebody with us who does get it. So I love that you began with, you're not crazy, because that's the most important starting point. So
absolutely.
Now that estrogen, you know, is walking out the door, because it's inevitable. It happens for women at different ages and stages, but it does all happen if you are born with ovaries. When estrogen leaves, is there a way of bringing it back to help our joints? Is it something that is the systemic estrogen? Can it be, you know, applied in other ways? Or if we're not using estrogen, you know, what are some other solutions that we might pursue?
So that is another great way for me to just go on and on. So you are so kind. But you know what? It is not just one thing. You know, when a person comes to me with shoulder pain and can't move their shoulder, and I diagnose them with the musculoskeletal, you have a frozen shoulder, I'm not just interested in their shoulder. And so the solutions to the musculoskeletal symptoms of menopause are just not one thing. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go down my list of really helpful things.
Let's do them all.
Yeah. So number one, every woman needs to come to the crossroads of deciding, is estrogen for them, hormone replacement therapy. I have no judgment for any woman who decides it is not, but there are so many arguments why it is beneficial for women, not to mention dementia, cardiovascular disease, but musculoskeletal health and prevention of the muscle loss and the bone. So if you need to know more, people, Katie's show is a great way to find it. But also, I want you to read the book that changed my life, literally, And I tell Tara Carol Tavris and Avram Blooming this all the time. It's Estrogen Matters. I wish I owned royalties on this book because everybody I talk to about this, I'm writing it down for them to buy it. If you need to know the real data and get to the bottom, read Estrogen Matters. I listened to it on Audible, then I bought the book, then I underlined it. So number one. Number two, I suggest you spend time on the menopause.org site. It is the website of the North American Menopause Society. Because here's the deal, people. If your kid had a problem, you would be searching high and low for the answers. You would leave no stone unturned. You would not take no for an answer. You'd be calling up your girlfriends, your doctors, your girlfriend's doctors. You would not stop. But for so many women, we just stop. And I want you to pursue this like, you know, you're on a hunt, number one. So that's get information. Decide whether hormone replacement therapy is for you or not. I have made the decision that for me, I am on estradiol, and because I have my uterus, I take progesterone, and that's been remarkable.
Vonda, I want to hop in for a minute too and ask you a little bit about the type of systemic estrogen. But we are heading into a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up this thought and then also talk about number three.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Erica, one third of the podcast Books and Betches, a comedy book podcast where we swear, spoil, and we talk about...
Whoa. You cannot say that in this.
What do you mean? That's like our slogan. It's our gimmick.
It is, but just say we're a very funny adult book podcast. How about we just give some examples of things we talk about?
Well, there's a lot of chaos.
I'm Chris in it with me, I have.
Wobble!
No.
We talk about books, but we're not your AP Lit class.
I definitely hit on the major points.
You absolutely did not.
She did.
You talked
just
about...
Just not in the order you thought she would.
You talked so slowly about one thing.
A lot of sidebar conversations.
Are you denying the existence of chupacabras?
You know what, Erica? Yes, I am.
And we don't always get the facts right.
Epilogues don't belong in books.
Call it chapter one.
That's a
the
prologue.
The second I see...
That's a prologue.
Oh, I'm talking about prologues.
You can listen to new episodes of the Books and Betches podcast every Tuesday morning, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye.
Vonda, we're back from the break. We headed into it. You were sharing your own experience with HRT. I wanted to sort of chime in for our listeners as well to say I'm using vaginal estrogen and I'm using a systemic estrogen that's applied via a patch. Does it matter if you're taking like oral estrogen or can you do transdermal estrogen that through patches? And will this have the same impact? Is one better than the other?
You know what? There are not enough studies comparing transdermal to oral for the musculoskeletal system. However, like all the other menopause symptoms, estrogen is dosed by symptom relief, not by blood levels. So I recommend to my patients transdermal. That is because oral estrogen, which comes from the pregnant mare's urine, passes through the liver when you ingest it and has a first pass effect, which can have a side effect for some women of increasing blood clot and some more systemic things. But thankfully, transdermal patches, which come in a variety of dosage and are easy to manipulate up and down because of that, do not have first pass effect and therefore do not cause increased clot risk.
That's great. So, and I would say they're very easy to use as well. And I did wind up having to switch doses and, finally landed on one that really works for me. And, you know, the hardest thing about this is remembering to put it on. I mean, because it's that easy.
I agree with you. You
know, super simple.
I have to feel my belly to make sure I put it back on.
I'm with you. I'm like, where is that thing?
Where is that?
Yeah. So, but good to know that transdermal estrogen can help with these symptoms. So you talked about one, HRT, if that's something that people want.
Yes, that's number one. Number two, That also helps with the inflammation. Do you know estrogen is an anti-inflammatory substance? And so when it walks out the door, we become more inflamed. Guess what the second evil inflammatory substance is?
Is it sugar?
People hate,
is it sugar?
Oh my gosh, Katie, sugar.
I was saying it like nervously because I'm like, am I going to have to stop eating my chocolate peanut butter ice cream?
Well, you know, we all make choices, right?
That's true.
Yeah. And so I say to my patients, well, you know what? Your pain is your pain. If you want it, you have it. But if you don't want it, stop eating sugar.
Okay.
So added sugar, white sugar, simple carbs greatly increase the inflammation in our body. And so I'm not anti-carb. I work out a lot. I need carbs. But what I need is fibrous carbs. And so does everybody listening. So that means that we do not drink orange juice. We eat the oranges. We do not drink apple juice. We eat the apples. If you're good, for instance, fruit is always a big bugaboo for people. So that's number two, get rid of the HRT decision, get rid of the sugar. Number three, we must build lean muscle mass. We must, at this age, there is great literature to show that we need to put down the mamby-pamby pink weights that we lift four sets of 15 and pick up heavier weights. Now, when I say lift heavy weights, people always write me back and say, well, what's heavy? Well, the good news is it's personal. So for instance, I'm going to give you my example. I can do a biceps curl with 15 pounds all day today and all day tomorrow without stopping, because that's just not heavy for me anymore. But 25 pounds, I can only do 3 to 5 times, and I'm making funny noises and my face is getting red, right?
Steam's coming out of your ears.
That's
right.
So heavy is individual, but you want to lift what you can lift only 3 to 5 times for about 4 sets, because that is what's going to stimulate the laying down of new lean muscle. It's going to stimulate the division of a miracle stem cell in your muscle called a satellite cell, which is one of the, you know, honestly, it's one of the stem cells I studied in my lab at University of Pittsburgh. And we thought it was amazing then, but now we know it's amazing for longevity, actually, and aging well. So we've got HRT, we've got get rid of sugar, we've got make and maintain our lean muscle mass. And then number four, it is really true. If we don't move, we'll rust out. So I want women to move every day, push away from the table, leave your dishes on the table, go for a 45-minute walk. It doesn't have to be all out gunning it so that you dread it. It's literally your body is designed to move. That's why we have our largest muscle mass below our belly button. So we just need to move every day. And those four things, and you're thinking, oh, how am I going to fit it all in? Well, you deserve it. You're worth this time investment. Those things go a long way in helping deal with the musculoskeletal symptoms of menopause.
Right. And, you know, I think time is always an issue for modern women, right? There's so mm-hmm. many demands on our time, yep. but it is probably a lot easier to spend the time preventing these things than managing them once they, you know, once age, you know, once decrepitude or pain and all of those things set in. Because when I have people in my life, you know, my father right now is dealing with like he had surgery for his rotator cuff. He's got like a very long, multiple weeks recovery yes. in front of him. So if you're yes. not managing your health now, you will be having to make time for it later. And so I feel like this is important. But what you outline feels very doable. I mean, people can make their personal choice about HRT super easy. Mm-hmm. If you're a yes, very easy to do. Sugar, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit harder for people. You know, people have to make their own choices. But this building of the lean muscle mass, I love how you shared that when you're lifting your personal heaviest maximum weight, you only need a few slow reps to stimulate that satellite cell and get that muscle building. And moving every day is, you know, fun. You could do it with your partner. You could do it with your kids. You could do it with a girlfriend. You know, I think, you know, a walking coffee date in the morning is like the new happy hour. You can,
right.
you can find ways to include fitness into your life.
Well, I'm going to add one more.
Yes,
please. And maybe you're going to tell me next time I see you. I'm coming to New York soon. So maybe you'll tell me then that I'm going to add, please, if you can, I want you to jump up and down in a standing position 20 times, because I need you to stimulate your bones with a little impact. And it only takes 20 jumps a day. So I'm not, you don't have to run up 20 staircases, literally jump in one place. And if that hurts your knees, if you can't do it, trampolines work. That's how NASA rebuilds bone and muscle in its astronauts. And then if you're really in pain and you can't do it in a pool. But that 20 little jumps a day, maybe you're standing on one leg, you do your teeth for a minute, and then right next, you jump up and down 20 times. You're like, okay, Vonda, enough of you in my life right now.
My husband's going to be like, this morning bathroom routine is really insane, as I'm like jumping up and down on my one leg.
But you got to record yourself doing that.
I'm going to. This is going to become a reel. This will be a reel, Vonda. You're going to watch all of your tips in action. I'm going to have to invest in some better looking pajamas, but you know, this is coming, people. You're going to see it. So I love it. But you make it seem very easy. You know, some of these, sometimes we think fitness is hard, you know, that we need to be in a gym with very expensive equipment. But this notion of just sort of jumping up and down for 20 times, you know, in your own home is something that we can all incorporate. When you first were on the show, Vonda, you shared a statistic that absolutely blew me away. I looked at my notes again to prepare for this, and that you said 70% of aging is really determined by choices, only 30% by genetics. Sometimes I think we think we're just dealt a hand that we're stuck with. You've outlined some choices we can make to build, you know, lean, healthy muscle mass and keep our bones healthy. You just shared this very simple tip. What are some other choices that we can make in terms of lifestyle and exercise that help us build these lean, healthy muscles?
Well, you know, something that I do nearly religiously now, I'm of an age where my little children are a little older and they don't need me constantly. My 16-year-old would say she never needs me. She's that independent, right? So thank God I've done my job. She's very independent. But I protect my sleep, Katie. So, you know, I was a surgical resident at the time when there was no work hour restrictions. So I know for a fact that I can slog through 136 hours a week. I don't recommend it, because not only will that impact my longevity, but it impacts everything. So imagine if you're skimping on your sleep, you're getting one more thing done, you're just gonna be the responsible worker and you stay up till 2 a.m., you're up at 7 to do whatever. You're not going to have the energy to take care of yourself. Not only is not sleeping not taking care of yourself, you're not going to have the energy to do these walking, these weightlifting later in the day. So I protect my sleep religiously. So, and I work with my menopausal body, right? So I started waking up around 3:27. I don't know what it is about that time in the morning, but my brain.
Right there with you. It's the same
3:27.
Time.
So the last week or so, you know, I'll try to go back to sleep, but the last week or so, I'm like, okay, all right, you want to be up working? I'm a morning person anyway. I get up at 3:27. I am getting so much work done in the still of the night in my house because no one else in their right mind is up, right? I get 2 or 3 hours of work done. But then, Katie, it does not mean that I stay up until 10 or 11 when everybody else is going to bed. I honor my commitment to sleep. I'm in bed by 8, right? So honor your sleep. You cannot rejuvenate without it. It's that important. And, you know, and if your body's doing what mine is 3:27 is when I erupt from some kind of REM or something's happening. I just get up.
Yeah, I think I've had sleep experts who are on the show, too, that say this sort of this notion of 8 hours of sleep and sleeping during certain times, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, and that there's different sort of sleep cycles that people have. As long as you're getting yourself into the bed to get, you know, the sleep that you need. And I love that you shared we talked about this busy modern world that we live in where everyone's constantly hustling. Really prioritizing rest is something that feels so, it's challenging, but it's something that we need to do, and we need to make time for that. Vonda, I want to ask you something. You know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff, a lot of buzz around biological versus chronical age. You know, you are an expert in active aging. We know that aging is a natural, inevitable part of being human. This show is pro-aging, right? Aging is living. Yep. We're not afraid of living. But there's a lot of buzz around, biological versus chronological age. You know, the age that you have in years versus your cellular age. Because even though we're pro-aging, we're also pro-health. We want to extend our lifespan. We want to take steps to make sure that we are free of aging-related diseases. Where do you land on this notion of biological versus chronological age? Is it accurate? Is the buzz correct?
Well, I love the concept of it, because if we start with chronologic age, I sometimes post with my finger wagging at people, don't tell me who I'm supposed to be at 57, I'll tell you. Because to me, I don't really know in the modern era what that many birthday candles means. What I know it means to me, because I work at it, is that I can still travel, I can do anything I want, I'm not limited physically, thank God, right? So chronologically is just on my driver's license. Biologically can be measured. It can be a feeling, right? When people says, oh, I feel 36, blah, blah, blah. Or someone says, oh, you act so youthful. That's one way to think about biologic age. You're not defined by birthday candles that can burn down the kitchen. But I know, but there are several research-backed ways. The science is not perfect, but you've got this way to measure biologic age called Glycan Age. It's actually a company. And what they measure is your total inflammation against what they perceive is as chronologic age. So are you less inflamed than an old person, or young, or more inflamed someone your age? And because inflammation is one of the primary drivers of aging. So there's that, or there's something called the Horvath clock. But so there are lots of tools out there that will tell you, oh, Vonda, you're chronologically 57, but you are biologically 40. And that makes us feel really good. So the science is plus minus, but it is a way to take into account, are you functioning like a younger person? But the fact is, maybe I'm functioning at 40, you know, my biological age is saying 40, maybe I am modern biological 57. Who knows? There's no definitions, right? So chronologically is the date on your birth certificate. Biologically is the how your cells are inflamed, how many stem cells you have, your telomere length, a variety of factors. But I want to introduce another idea to you.
Please.
Which is the rate of aging.
Ooh, okay.
Are you aging faster or slower? And so there is one measure of that, which says you want your rate of aging to be slower, not faster. So, for instance, you may be
rate of aging compared to what, Vonda? To just like the general population, or for your okay
to a baseline, hundreds of thousands of baseline people. Are you faster, slower? And it gets down to a real cellular level and the people that do it. But if you send your blood to them, they will say, oh, you are aging slower than everybody else. So the way it's just interesting to play with is, okay, chronologically, choose a number. I'm 57. It's on my birth certificate. Biologically, I'm doing great. I'm doing all the lifestyle stuff. My cells are healthy. My telomeres are long. You're 40. But what is your rate of aging? Are you re-aging slower because you've got this steady habit of healthy lifestyle? Or are you aging faster because you've taken up smoking, you've stopped exercising, you've let the stress overwhelm you, and now you're aging faster? Do you see what I mean? So there's actually three things to think about. But here's, I know it's very
I think it's absolutely fascinating. And, you know, it's sort of also, you know, I mean, one of the sort of the bedrock of this question is like, what is age anyhow? Like, and how do we look at it? Like, you know, to have like biological, you know, youth, is that, I mean, I guess, we don't want to be encountering, you know, age-related diseases and things that occur later in life. But it still kind of puts being youthful as an optimal state, which is, you know,
right.
And you and I
don't know about that.
And I don't know about that either, right? Which is why I want to ask you. You shared something on your Instagram that I loved, it caught my eye. It was this whole notion of aging gracefully, which, you know, on its surface sounds like that's positive. You know, we want to be graceful. What's wrong with aging gracefully? But it really, you know, at the very core is something that is less you know, it's something that's a little bit corrosive about this notion. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners, you know, what you shared on your Instagram post. Yeah. What is your take on this notion of aging gracefully?
Well, I interpret, and that was spurred by something popped up on my social media, or maybe somebody directed at me, like, what are you telling all these women to do this stuff for? Let them age gracefully. And maybe that's what it was. It got me a little riled up. I don't know what that means, aging gracefully, because let me tell you about my youth, right? Why? My response was to, what does it even mean to age gracefully? Because I was never graceful in my youth. I was adventurous. I took risks. I did things I wasn't supposed to do. I went back to medical school at 28. I had a marriage that wasn't successful, and I learned to love again and took the risk on that. When I remarried, I was gifted 5 stepchildren who I helped to raise. I mean, all of those things. And then I had a baby at 40. How about that, right? All of those things in my
You're aging quote, like a badass, Vonda.
Well, and that's what I mean. Graceful. Why would I suddenly sit back and say, oh, now I'm going to be
now I want to be graceful.
Somebody I never was. So, you know what, for me, and maybe this is you, I think I know you well enough to know that I don't like to be told what to do, and I don't like to have limitations. So don't tell me what I can and can't do at a certain age. I'll show you that at 56, I entered my first Spartan stadium race, and I didn't know that I could or could not get over a 30-foot wall, or that I couldn't or could not climb a rope. I just knew I was going to show up. And there's nothing graceful about, you know, heave-hoeing over a wall and carrying a bucket of cement. But if I want to do it, I want to do it. You know?
It's that notion of just, you know, you think I can't? Watch me. Watch me do the things you think I can't. So this is such a great segue. Tell me about these Spartan women races. I have watched a little bit of your clips online. And I've also seen you since we first connected 3 years ago. And we've gotten to have, like, meals together in New York, which has been such a treat. I have seen you lifting all of these weights. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started. For anyone who's sitting here thinking, I want to lift heavy things, I want to be in, you know, build the lean muscle mass, I'm ready to be a badass. You know, how did you get started? What do you recommend?
So first, deciding how you want to live, right? There's a concept of health span versus lifespan. The average lifespan in this country for women is between 81 and 84. If you live in Japan, it's 85. But the health span, that time of life when you are not going to the doctor 3 days a week for your relative, for all of your diseases that you carry, is only 60, Katie.
Wow.
So the question is, what do you want to do in those 20 years? And frankly, I got to live to 97 so that I can bug the heck out of my 16-year-old until she's my age, right? So how do I get there? It doesn't happen overnight. So in the original books that I wrote, Guide to Thrive, which I love, and I've given away on my social media, people can still download the PDF, and Fitness After 40, it really was all body weight. It was taking you from couch to 5K usually. It's a great way to start. So when I decided that I needed to lose my 30 pounds of menopause weight because I had a closet full of adorable clothes that I was going to have to size up on, and I didn't want to and I couldn't afford to, right? And I didn't like the fat that was in places I'd never had it. What I did was make this decision to do the things that I told you guys about before. I started on HRT. I eliminated sugar. And when I wanted to go to the gym, I had not lifted heavy since I was in high school. I did lift heavy in high school, and I was intimidated. So I got a strength and conditioning coach, not a personal trainer who was going to hand me a mamby-pamby pink weight. But I said to him, listen, this is my goal. Here's the research. Here's what Stacy Sims says we should do. And so we started powerlifting, and I started powerlifting, meaning squats and deadlifts and bench press and pull-ups, with really just, you know, embarrassingly light weights, but then every week
I'm impressed. You might be embarrassed, but this is like amazing. You know it was hard and you got going and you started. So
but you know what the key is, Katie? It's consistency. It's showing up for yourself every day. So I make appointments like 5 p.m. My staff is still here working. I've got my gym clothes on going out to, because I've committed to lifting or doing my zone 2 every day at 5. So I'll finish the work when I'm done, but I am committed and it's the consistency that works. So if you're going to do one thing, you're going to just start. You're going to let go of the sugar spoon. You're going to take a walk after dinner and you're going to find a way to start lifting heavy. That's a great way to start. But that's how I did, just a little at a time. But, you know, I didn't lose weight rapidly, just about a pound or a half a pound a week. So it's not rapid, but I gained so much muscle and it's not about losing pounds on the scale, but the leanness that comes from building muscle, because it increases your metabolic rate, just because your basal metabolic rate, it takes more calories a day to support muscle than fat. I mean, it's miraculous. And you know what the other thing it did, Katie, is it gave me the confidence to continue in my badassery.
I see that. I see that on your Instagram. I've watched your, sort of transformation and just sort of your embracing of all these other types of fitness activities that you're doing. I love that you share that you just start small. It's that old expression, you know how to eat an elephant, right? You know, one bite at a time, right? Like if you're going to get that elephant eaten, you got to just want, you know, it's one step. That's how we climb Mount Everest, one step, one foot in front of the other. And I honestly think, and this is a good reminder for me, sometimes we forget that it's the slow and steady that wins the race, because we get really excited about wanting change and, we don't often put in the small incremental baby steps that make things happen. Fonda, we're nearing the end of our time, but before we switch gears and head into our speed round, I want to hear about your latest book, because I've read Fitness After 40, and I know you have several others. I would love for you to share with our listeners what's coming.
Thank you so much. So yes, you have Fitness After 40, and the book that followed that was called Guide to Thrive, which is really a strategic plan for your health. But it was written 10 years ago, and therefore, I'm giving it away as a PDF on my Instagram. So go get it if you want it. It's free now. But it was all based on body weight, functional, on the ground. And that is still an amazing way to get started. But the sequel to that, which is called Strong and Courageous, the We Are Not Victims approach to Guide to Thrive in midlife, menopause and mobility, talks about my new approach now. All the things we talked about today, my nutritionist and I are making 30 anti-inflammatory recipes, which I'm going to cook for you and release as videos just to accompany the book. But it really is a how to do modern midlife and menopause. And I found by writing books over the years that sometimes we just need a day-by-day plan. There's too much information. We're a little overwhelmed. There's a lot of science. People are writing science books all over the place. But my books are really like having a conversation. Here's what you do today. Here's what you do tomorrow. I'm going to hug you along the way. And I called it Strong and Courageous because I firmly believe that we have lived long enough. We have had enough experiences. We have figured stuff out that we should not be shirking into the future, but pivoting to face it boldly, strong and courageous. And it's an attitude, really, and mindset that undergirds this whole approach.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful approach. And do you feel that getting to midlife is what has given you this sort of new mindset? Could you have written this book? I know you wrote a version of it 10 years ago, but what you're bringing to the table now, what way has your own aging journey impacted the spirit and the lens that you're bringing to this particular book?
You know, sometimes I say that when I was 40, right before I had my daughter, I was in the best shape of my life. I was the lowest body fat. I was the leanest. I was the strongest. I was, you know, I could all the things. My brain was amazing. But this is my best self because I've gotten myself nearly back to that physical shape. But what the knowing myself, the confidence, the I have figured out the last 17 years, nothing can replace the wisdom that comes with experience. And the price of experience, girlfriends, is aging, and it can be amazing.
I love it. This is exactly why you're back on the show, Vonda. Not only are you an encyclopedia of knowledge about active aging, I mean, Vonda's done fascinating research on master athletes. You know, she's an incredibly well-renowned orthopedic surgeon. She's an incredible author. But you're here because I really admire and connect to your just the spirit that you bring to this time of our lives. And I'm so, so happy the podcast has connected us. But we are moving into our speed round. And okay, we're going to just end with this as kind of like a high energy 1 to 2 word answers. So we can, share a little bit more of you before we have to say goodbye.
Okay, so, I feel like I'm in a race now.
Well, you're good at that, right? This is going to be a lot easier than jumping over a 30-foot wall. I can guarantee that. Okay, your favorite weight in the gym?
I like deadlifts.
Deadlifts. Okay, favorite weight or exercise tool to use at home?
The only thing that I use at home is my staircase, like 100 times because I can't remember it.
Nice. Most of us, maybe we all don't, but most of us have staircases. So that's a great, easy, cheap, free. My mom lives on the 19th floor of an apartment building in New York City, by the way. And when the weather's bad, like she, up and down those stairs. So we can work out anywhere. All right. This muscle building grocery is always in my grocery cart.
Oh, chicken breasts.
Nice. This food is an underrated muscle-building superhero.
Well, it's not romantic, but I do drink protein powder shakes.
All right, that works. consider adding this supplement or vitamin to your diet for bone health.
Oh, magnesium. Oh. Every night.
Nice.
Magnesium gluconate, yep.
Love it. Favorite exercise or activity for stress busting?
After a good warm-up, sprinting is great for stress busting. And everybody's sprint is different,
ooh,
right?
Yeah.
My sprint looks like a crawl, but it's my sprint.
Favorite lifestyle hack or activity for relaxation and calm?
Oh, don't hate me, Katie. I just like to curl up in the corner of this giant couch we have, and I just cover myself in little pillows. So curling up in the corner of a giant couch.
I mean, why would I hate that? That sounds delightful.
Doesn't it? But you know, it's like, oh, she's out deadlifting. And then I go home and
couch. It's the yin and the yang. I literally sometimes lay down in a patch of sunlight coming through the window. Like
so
I'm a
nice
cat, for like 5 minutes just to reset. It's like, feels amazing.
But you know what? Dave's gonna please edit this. But I did not learn to curl up in the corner of my couch until I took a 7-month sabbatical during COVID.
Nice.
Like, I did not work for 7 months.
That's important too.
I never knew how.
You know what? We just talked about the importance of rest. I think I'm going to do a show on rest. This is a great idea. I need to find an expert on rest because there really is that is such an underrated tool. Women don't practice it enough, and modern life makes it hard. So that's thank you for that wonderful idea. I love it.
Yep.
You mentioned a name earlier of somebody whose fitness routines that you admire. Could you share that name again? And also, is there another fitness or workout role model we should have on our radar?
You know, I love the science of Dr. Stacy Sims. She is not making it up. She is doing the original research herself and cataloging other people's research on the smart way for midlife women to work out.
Phenomenal. Okay, finally, your one word answer to complete this sentence. As I age, I feel
amazing.
I love it. I feel amazing too. Vonda, thank you so much. Before we say goodbye, how can our listeners find you, your books, and all of your inspiring content?
So your listeners should go to Instagram and find me at my name, at Dr. Vonda Wright. Dr. Vonda Wright. And then if you go to my links, there's all kinds of other resources, including my website, which is also Dr. Vonda Wright, and blogs. It's all there. Plus, if you Google me, I'm around. But the books are there. But Dr. Dr. Vonda Wright.
Fabulous. I'm putting all of that into the show notes. This was such a treat. This wraps A Certain Age, a show for women who are aging without apology. Did you learn something on this week's show? Do you feel more inspired, smarter, motivated? If the answer is yes, yes, I have new tools for thriving in midlife. I would love it if you could take 5 minutes to write an Apple Podcast review. These reviews really matter, and they help other women find the show. Special thanks to Michael Mancini, who composed and produced our theme music. See you next time, and until then, age boldly, beauties.